Christian Reformed Church brings you the Back to God Hour, a program that looks at life in light of the historic Christian faith. The subject of today's program is Just Another Christmas. And now here's David Fettes.
You ever envy the shepherds of Bethlehem? I do sometimes. Their Christmas was a lot more exciting than mine. If we go to church for a Christmas celebration, we can usually predict what's going to happen even before we get there. We know most of the songs that will be sung, and we know what the preacher is going to talk about. He's going to talk about the baby Jesus, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds or the wise men, maybe some angels. We've heard it all before. Some churches seem to realize that Christmas has become too predictable, so they try to liven things up. They might have a choir stacked in a pyramid shape and call it a singing Christmas tree. Or they may have actors in shepherd's costumes or angel wings. A big budget church may even have live sheep and camels leaving droppings all over the stage. But let's face it, no matter how well the show is produced, no matter what gimmicks are used, it can't compare with a visit from real angels. In addition to the church pageants, we also have the shopping expeditions, the office parties, the family dinners, the gift exchanges, and so forth. It's all part of the way we celebrate. Often very nice, sometimes downright touching, occasionally hectic, but not very exciting or surprising or life-changing. As the carol puts it, I heard the bells on Christmas Day their old familiar carols play, and soft and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Just another Christmas. It's soft and sweet, the carols are old and familiar, the atmosphere is full of nostalgia and warm feelings. Christmas is as predictable as that juicy Christmas turkey roasting in the oven. It tastes good just like it's supposed to. It tastes good like all those other delicious turkeys, and then it's digested and gone for another year. Once the pageantry and the parties are over, the niceness ends, reality returns. You've got all the ordinary things to think about. Surviving school long enough to graduate, keeping your job in a changing economy, working through struggles in relationships, dealing with minor worries and major griefs. You're up to your ears in everyday challenges, and Christmas doesn't seem to make much difference. That's when the questions begin. Christmas is soft, but life is hard. Christmas is sweet, but life is often sour. Christmas is familiar, but life holds some nasty surprises. Why would the Grinch want to steal Christmas when he's already got the rest of the year? For many of us, Christmas is a nice holiday, a sentimental break from reality, but it doesn't do much to help us deal with reality. And then we can't help asking the deeper questions. Is there anything more to Christmas than our predictable celebrations? Even if we enjoy Christmas, what about Christianity itself? Is it for real? Was the child of Christmas really God made flesh, as the Bible claims? What about those who say that Jesus was just a great but short-lived teacher? What about those who say that Jesus is soft and sweet and dead? As pleasant as Christmas usually is, there are times when it doesn't seem to help with our everyday lives. It doesn't do much to answer our doubts and questions. That's when I envy the shepherds. The night Jesus was born, shepherds near Bethlehem saw angels. They were treated to a dazzling supernatural display. But what about us, 2,000 years later? Texas ranch hands and Ontario factory workers and Chicago truck drivers aren't seeing any angels. We hear only the old familiar carols play, and soft and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Why no angels for us? Why did the shepherds get a stunning appearance by heavenly visitors while we get just another Christmas with nothing but carols, lights, trees, and predictable pageants? If Christmas is anything more than a nice holiday, why doesn't God light up the sky for us? Why leave us in the dark with all our troubles and questions? If only we could see and hear what the shepherds saw and heard, it might be easier to get excited about Christmas. Imagine with me what it would be like if, instead of our usual preachers and pageantry, the angels would appear to us in all their splendor and give us the Christmas message directly. What would happen? What impact would such a dazzling revelation have on us? In a moment, we'll try to picture it. But first, let's listen to this music about the shepherds and the angels, produced by Tom Fetke. Don't you envy the shepherds? In Luke 2, the Bible tells about that first Christmas night. Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Now, when I hear that story, I sometimes can't help envying the shepherds. Wouldn't it be great if we could see what they saw, if we could hear what they heard? Just imagine it. Imagine if all our nice, predictable Christmas celebrations were interrupted by the appearance of real angels. Suddenly, everyone in the world is squinting at a brightness their eyes can't handle. Their ears are filled with a voice like none they've ever heard. The angel has come back to tell us the same thing he once told the shepherds. Now imagine a TV camera going from one person to the next, picking up the various reactions. Those who have loved Jesus are astonished. They were expecting just another Christmas, and now they're filled with fear and wonder. Then, as the angel begins to speak, they thrill to hear him say, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Of course, they've heard those words many times before in many different Christmas pageants, but coming from the mouth of the angel, it's like they're hearing them for the very first time. Good news, great joy. Yes, indeed, it's all true. It's all real. Now, at last, they can actually see and hear something that removes their doubts and fears, that confirms their faith and sets their hearts aglow. The camera then zooms in on a humanist. This person has ignored God and made humanity the measure of all things. How does he react to the angel? I can see it now. His eyes are wide with shock. He's always thought that angels don't exist, that the supernatural is only superstition. The cosmos is all that was or is or ever will be. But now, a light blazes from beyond the cosmos, and there's no scientific explanation for it. His head starts spinning, and he topples over in a dead faint. When he returns to his senses, he hears the angel saying, "A savior has been born to you." Those words hit the humanist hard. A savior, he wonders? What for? Humanity is basically good. We don't need a savior. If there's any saving to be done, it's up to us. We're the only ones who can save ourselves and our planet. At least that's what I've always thought. But I was wrong. Oh, was I wrong? All that stuff I laughed at is true. Meanwhile, our angel continues speaking. A savior has been born to you. He is Messiah. At that moment, the camera shifts to a Jewish person. She is stunned. Messiah? She's had a hard time taking seriously the ancient Jewish tradition that the Messiah would come, and she certainly hasn't believed the Christian claim that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one promised to the Israelites. And history hasn't helped her any. The way some people calling themselves Christians have treated Jews, how can she accept Jesus as the Messiah of Israel? But now there's no longer room for doubt. All the Christmas trees and manger scenes in the world couldn't convince her of the meaning of Christmas, but that word Messiah in the mouth of the angel is enough. She suddenly realizes that Jesus fulfills the ancient prophecies. She understands that the Messiah many Jews have been waiting for was born already 2,000 years ago in the village of Bethlehem. The camera shifts to someone else. This person already believes that God exists and that Jesus is the Messiah in some way, but has never believed that Jesus is himself God in the flesh. As the camera zooms in, the angel is just saying, "To you is born a Savior, he is Messiah, the Lord." At that word Lord, this person is taken aback. His head jerks in amazement. His religion has always taught that Jesus is special in some sense, but Lord? How can Jesus be Lord? That title belongs to God alone. But that's what the angel is saying, and as the angel speaks that word Lord, those who once rejected the deity of Jesus can do so no longer. The unthinkable is true. Jesus is Lord. He is God. It can't be denied. As the angel finishes speaking, the camera shifts back to those who were already followers of Jesus, and it registers their beaming faces. What joy! We always claimed it was true. We always hoped it was true, but we never quite dared to think it was this true. It wouldn't be just another Christmas if we could just see an angel like the shepherds did. The doubts would be erased, the boredom and predictability would melt away in heavenly radiance. At least that's how I like to imagine it. But now imagine with me a bit further. The appearance of the angel turns out to be such a hit that God makes it an annual event. Each Christmas, the angel appears in celestial splendor. Each year he declares that Jesus is Savior, Messiah, and Lord. Before long, there's nobody left who doubts what happened in Bethlehem so long ago. Nobody questions who Jesus is. And as the years pass, it's no longer a surprise when the angel appears. People follow their usual routine throughout the year, except that whenever Christmas approaches, they clear their schedules so they can be ready for the angel's annual visit. Then one Christmas day, as the angel makes his usual announcement, a young child blurts out one of those naive, embarrassing questions that kids are sometimes famous for. "So what?" At first, everyone is aghast at such a question. But then it begins to sink in. So what? Even if everything the angel says is true, what difference does it make? A Christian believes certain facts about Jesus which other people don't believe. Is this disagreement the only thing that makes Christians different from others? If an angel removed the doubts of Christians and convinced non-Christians that Jesus really is God, what difference would it make? It could turn out to be just another Christmas after all. The angel might be more dazzling than our usual preacher. He might even persuade us of things we wouldn't otherwise believe. But what's the difference after Christmas? So what? If we can't answer that question, Christmas won't do us much good, not even if an angel would appear. And once we can answer that question, once we know the so what of Jesus coming and have our lives changed by him, we just might find that we don't need an angel visit after all. You see, as long as we're preoccupied with the angel, as long as we're looking for a supernatural display of divine power, we're going to miss the real impact of Christmas. Christmas isn't, first of all, about angels in the sky. It's about a baby in a manger. It's not about God dazzling us with his splendor. It's about God the Son laying aside his splendor to become a humble infant. The great news of Christmas is not simply that a glorious, all-powerful God exists, surrounded forever by splendid angels. That's true, of course, and we're fools to doubt it. But our greatest need isn't just to know that God exists somewhere out there, but to know that he is present right here, to realize that he has lived and walked among us, that he has known our griefs, that he has carried our sorrows, that he has felt the temptations we feel, that he was made like us in every way except for sin, and that he can help us in our weakness. Jesus was born bloody and wriggling in a wooden manger, and he died bloody and writhing on a wooden cross. In between, he grew up in the family of a lowly woodworker. He befriended shame-filled prostitutes and respectable teachers alike. He rubbed shoulders with lowly fishermen and with lofty synagogue rulers. He showed his love to helpless widows and to powerful army officers. He knew hunger as well as feasting, laughter as well as grief. He knew loneliness and betrayal and rejection and pain. He became one of us in every way. He made our situation his own. And ultimately, he took the sins of a broken world upon his shoulders and suffered hell on our behalf as he hung on the cross. That's why Christmas matters. That's why the Son of God became one of us. He plunged all the way down to the depths of our misery and bound himself to humanity in every way. Then he rose back out of the depths, lifting humanity up with him into the life of God. In Jesus, God understands people fully, and he saves them completely. So Christmas isn't just a sentimental break from our difficulties. It's a time to celebrate that God has entered into our difficulties himself. Jesus came to enter our misery, to walk with us in the midst of it, and ultimately to lift us out of it. What you and I need, then, isn't a sentimental break from reality, and we don't need a dazzling angel to remove our doubts. We need God to convince us that he loved us so much he became one of us. We need him to convince us of our sin and to help us receive the salvation that only the God-man Jesus Christ can provide. As long as you don't accept what Jesus has done for you, as long as you don't receive his forgiveness and welcome him into your heart, you'll also find it hard to believe that this man is God with us. And even if you do believe that, it really won't make much difference to you. It will simply leave you wondering, so what? In short, we don't need an angel to change our minds. We need Christ to change our hearts. We need the Lord's help to recognize our sin and helplessness. We need his help to look to Jesus as the only one who can rescue us. And we need the Lord's Spirit to be at home in our hearts. Then Christmas will be a time full of joy and celebration, a time that affects us throughout the entire year and for all eternity. Having said all that, I have to admit that there are still times when I envy the shepherds, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. Many of us wish that God would do something startling or miraculous once in a while. What about that? Well, sometimes it does happen. God blesses us with events that amaze and dazzle us and strengthen our faith. Not as often as we'd like, perhaps, but it does happen for some people some of the time. And if you've been blessed in that way, you can thank God for it. But whether or not you experience a striking miracle, the Christmas message is that God's greatest miracle is when his Son became a man and lived among us, and when his Spirit enters our hearts and lives within us. No other miracle can begin to compare. And if you still want a visible display of God's power and glory, remember, that the day is coming when you'll see all the glory you can handle and more. Jesus is coming again, this time not as a humble baby, but as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The glory of God will be blazing forth from him, and his angels will be with him. But before you meet Jesus as the Lord of glory, you first need to trust the baby in the manger, the friend of sinners, the reject on the cross. You need to accept the miracle of God's self-humiliation and to believe that he went through all of this for you. Trust him as the only one who can deliver you from your sins and make you right with God. Welcome the Spirit of Jesus into your heart. Once you've accepted what Jesus did for you in his first coming, and once his Spirit comes into your heart, you'll be ready to meet him when Christ comes again in glory. Let's listen now as the Haven Quartet sings the Christmas prayer you and I should be praying, and then I'll be back for a final word.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when you came down to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee.
Heaven's arches rang when the angels sang, proclaiming thy royal decree. But in lowly birth, Lord, you came to earth, and with great humility.
Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. When the heaven shall ring and the angels sing at thy coming to victory, let thy voice call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee. And my heart shall rejoice, Lord Jesus, when you come and
is there room in your heart for Jesus? If so, then this isn't going to be just another Christmas for you. It's going to change your entire life. We've seen that God doesn't always give us the overwhelming experience we want, but he does provide the humble Savior we need. He doesn't always dazzle us with an outward display of power as he did the shepherds, but he works the inward miracle of moving us to repent and believe in Jesus' saving work. He lives in our hearts through his Holy Spirit, and he walks with us through all our joys and trials. This is the great so what of Christmas. This is why Jesus came. And when you really think about it, for the past 2,000 years, God has sent an angel to us every Christmas. In the original language, the word angel simply means messenger, and every year God has sent messengers to tell the world about the Savior's birth and to invite one and all to come to Jesus. In fact, you're listening to one of God's messengers right now. I'm not an angel of heaven, but as God's messenger, I bring you the same good news the angel brought the shepherds. To you has been born a Savior. He is Messiah. He is the Lord. It's the same news the shepherds heard, and it calls for the same response. The shepherds immediately went to Jesus. And that's what you must do. Go to Jesus. Will you go to Jesus right now with me in prayer? Lord, thank you for loving us in spite of our sin. Thank you, Jesus, for giving up your power and glory to become a tiny baby, for sharing our struggles, for suffering the punishment for our sin. I pray that you will listen to every person who prays this prayer with me right now. Lord, I am a sinner, unable to please you, unable to save myself. Forgive me, not because I deserve it, but because of the precious blood of Jesus. Raise me to new life with the risen Christ and make your home in my heart, dear Savior. Then help me to honor you, to enjoy your peace, and to live at peace with others. We praise you, loving God, for answering this prayer. Make this Christmas a glorious one for all your people, and help us to say together with the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. In Jesus' name, amen.